Big D and Bubba. They have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind. So they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast. The podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast. The podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast.
Joey, you did not sing along.
Not
dude.
At all. Not one
you,
time.
You know,
we're going to try it again. Hold on. This is unacceptable. Hold on.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast. The podcast. The podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast.
Yes. It was good, dude.
Thank you.
It was good.
You don't have to lie to me, man.
No, it was good. It sounded like a party. Real quick, I want to say thank you, Super 8 Hotels, for being our sponsors, because you're awesome. This part of the podcast, or this whole podcast, brought to you by Super 8 Hotels. Help them celebrate their 40th anniversary by playing the 40 Years and Looking Super game on Facebook. Go and check it out right now. See how super they are looking. Super 8 Hotels.
Appreciate it, Super 8. Hey, we're excited. One of our favorites is joining us on the podcast today, Joey Jones. He is a retired United States Marine. Spent 8 years in the Marines. He was in Afghanistan and also in Iraq, where he was a bomb tech. Basically, you look for stuff on the side of the road, and it would look like it was a bomb. You guys would explode it, I guess, or...
if you want to talk about that, it's pretty interesting. You hear the terminology roadside bombs, and in Iraq that was very prevalent and very relevant. A lot of the IEDs or bombs were on the side of the road, because in the 80s when the Soviets were there, they stayed in their vehicles all the time. Towards the latter years of the war in Iraq, you saw there's an iconic picture of General Petraeus walking around Fallujah with no protective gear on.
Right.
That's because the Marine Corps started we definitely perfected something called counterinsurgency, where we get out, we live among the people. We did a little bit of it actually in Vietnam. We just didn't know that's what it was. And so now those bombs are no longer roadside. They're next to a window, a door. They're in a walking path in a goat field, because they think we'll come through there. Made them much simpler design, and also more prevalent and harder to find and a lot harder to take apart. So
they really got smarter through the two wars.
Let me explain something to you that's common knowledge to us, but a lot of people don't understand. The bad guys, they don't put bombs in their own village. They go three villages over, and they put a bomb meant for us, sort of, next to a school. If a kid steps on it and it goes off, what's going to happen?
They don't care. It's not their kid. It's somebody else's village's kid.
But what are the people in that village going to say? They're going to say, man, if those Americans weren't here, that wouldn't have happened. So even though they know we didn't put it there, they're still blaming us. So it's propaganda. It's deadly propaganda.
Wow.
So that in Iraq, 2007 and 8, we started to see that. Get to Afghanistan, 2010, and there are a few bombs in the roads, but we can't drive on the roads. So they're always on a foot patrol.
What do you mean, why can't we drive on the roads?
Their main mode of transportation in the region I was in, not Kandahar or Kabul, but down in the southern region, Helmand, was moped. And literally, you would see a man, his wife, and up to four kids on a moped.
On one moped?
I've seen those pictures on the internet, and I thought they were like somebody making a joke. That's legit.
That's legit. There's something we call a bungo truck. It's a cab over with a bed, but it's really, really small. And we're driving these big up-armored vehicles, and all the roads snake along rather a water canal or an actual river.
Yeah.
And I've got pictures. What happens when you get too close to the edge? You lose about $20 million vehicle out into a river, and that's never fun. So even those guys like us that take bombs apart and think we don't get in trouble, we get in trouble when we dump a truck out in the river. But we get to Afghanistan, and all the IEDs and bombs were strategically placed in areas that would really turn the people against us. And our mission at that point in 2010 was to empower the people, make them create their own government, not make them, but empower them to do so.
Yeah, help them to.
Exactly. So our job became part propaganda, part political. We would go out and take apart and remove bombs that were placed next to someone's house or next to a school or out in a field, because it was worth our life to continue that political process. In other words, we would never make it to that field. I wasn't taking that IED or that bomb apart because Marines might die there. I was doing it to keep the people happy. So, it, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't just risk my life for Americans, and I don't think people understand that.
Yeah.
Wow.
It goes back to the same kind of situation with Vietnam. You brought it up a minute ago. Mm-hmm. In Vietnam, America kicked some serious butt. You hear all this stuff about America lost and this and that. But if you look at the actual strategy and the maps and the way everything was playing out, we were kicking butt. There were certain things that we could not do because they weren't popular, but we really did go in there and do some serious damage. Our military from the Vietnam era does not get the respect they deserve for doing a really good job. However, we lost that war, if you want to call it lost, in the media. And that's where everything got twisted around. And remember, the people who write the history books are usually the winners or the losers of the war. And in that one, we stepped away. We had to abort that mission. And so everybody calls it a loss. But again, our military from the Vietnam era, absolutely, to me, in my heart of hearts, won that war as best they could.
No, absolutely. A couple of different ways, actually. We have never lost a war militarily. They're arguably. We've never been beaten down with ammunition to the point we had to give up. But we hold ourselves to a different standard. And I would argue, and this gets into politics, and I'm not political on this stuff, that we fight wars for reasons outside of military. We don't fight wars to kill people. We don't fight wars to destroy them. Sun Tzu, famously or historically wrote, you don't decimate your enemy. You make them secede, and then if you completely decimate them, they come back vengeful, essentially.
Right.
We've never, look at Japan. Look at, the other places where we've been, where Germany is the other place that we helped them rebuild positively. So, all that being said, Vietnam is another one of those places that we went there with our own set of rules that were much more strict than who we were fighting. And sometimes that catches up to you, and it obviously caught up to us there. Became political and really hurt us, and we'll see what happens in Iraq right now.
I really love our podcast because every week it is completely different. For those people who never listen to the podcast, if you've got a friend or whatnot that they've never heard it, this is the stuff that we would love to sit down and talk about on the radio, but there's an expectation of us every day to, make me laugh and this and that. But
we do a lot of it, but it's pared down. It's not as in-depth, long form as what we're doing now.
I really enjoy this. And Joey, thank you for taking the time to hang out with us. Joey is... you're the marketing director, right? What's your official title for the boot campaign?
titles, man. I'm the executive director of marketing and promotions.
Executive director of marketing and promotions for the boot campaign, which if you want to find out more about them, go to bootcampaign.com, and you can find out all the great things that they do for our returning military, ways to assimilate and get back into society, ways to really triumph in the business world. And it's really a great far-reaching campaign / charity, if you want to call it that. Because they do so much and they intervene in so many different ways. Seriously, go to their website, spend a little time on there, and learn as much as you can about them.
What's going to happen with ISIS?
Actually, I'll be on Fox News tomorrow talking about it. So here's the deal. If you make bad, bad, bad people think they have a psychological hand over you, they start beheading reporters. So we have done a really bad job with our political posture in that region. You can blame it on both parties in the last two administrations and governments. But what's going to happen with ISIS is that the co-aligned Western world will make a decision on whether or not they care, and ISIS will follow that lead. It's a transparent decision. You can't hide it. You can't pretend to be upset about it without backing it up. And the American people, for one, my countrymen are amazing, but we're also very fickle. So what's important to us today isn't always important to us tomorrow. And unfortunately, the people there in the capital of this country, they're looking at what's going to keep them there tomorrow. So some of those decisions will be made for the right reasons, and a lot of them, unfortunately, will not. Really good example. Read the book 13 Days. President Kennedy may have made every wrong decision, but the Soviets reacted in every right way. Or he made all the right decisions, and they reacted in all the right ways. the amount of information he didn't have in making those decisions, it wasn't his wisdom or the intelligence he had that made those decisions right. It was that the Soviets reacted correctly.
We wanted them and needed them to.
Exactly. The way the world needed them to. Nuclear war at any level, if it wouldn't, other than the millions of lives it would have killed, it would have disrupted the geopolitical landscape. And politics control money, and that controls people's livelihoods. So, you know, we may be sitting here in a much worse place. So with all that being said, what the president decides to do, what his administration decides to do, regardless of...
Wait a second. Irregardless is not a word?
From what I know, it's not.
Okay.
Regardless of what our military officials are communicating to him, what he decides to do, it will be history that makes that judgment, and it may be history as in next month, or it may be history as in 10 years from now. President G.W. Bush says all the time that... history will determine whether he made the right decisions.
Speaking of Bush, I always thought this was fascinating. This has been making the rounds on the internet, talking about President Bush talking about, you know, pulling out of Iraq in 2007. Surely you've seen it. If not, take a listen to some of this craziness.
Governor Washington would like us to start leaving Iraq now. To begin withdrawing before our commanders tell us we are ready would be dangerous for Iraq, for the region, and for the United States. It would mean surrendering the future of Iraq to Al-Qaeda. It mean that we'd be risking mass killings on a horrific scale. It would mean we allow the terrorists to establish a safe haven in Iraq to replace the one they lost in Afghanistan. It would mean increasing the probability that American troops would have to return at some later date to confront an enemy that is even more dangerous.
Isn't that amazing? So, I mean, we knew, and by we, I mean both the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, everybody knew that that would be the situation. Pulling out of Iraq, it was going to end up like that. It's just, I really think that it was a political decision. And, you know, you make a bunch of campaign promises, you got to back them up. And then you hope that it's not your problem down the road.
Absolutely. I feel the same way. I've sat and had dinner with President Obama, and I've sat and had dinner with President Bush, and I'm very fortunate to have had those opportunities.
That's so cool, by the way.
I appreciate it. And they really are two of the most important opportunities in my life, I believe. And they both are a genuine person. And to sit here and say that one hates the country and the other one is academically stupid, I get so mad at Americans for not understanding the 30,000-foot view sometimes. But I also believe both Democrats and Republicans are a term I call bought and paid for. One's just more honest about it. That's a joke. And what I mean by that is that their decisions are based on more than the issue at hand. Their decisions are based on constituency and support, as well as projecting into the future and reelection. Presidents are the only ones that become exempt from that when they're in their last term. So the decisions President Obama's making today, he has to be making with the mentality of this is what my legacy will be. So you have to believe he is the president of the United States, that he thinks he's making the decisions that will leave the better legacy. Just like President Bush, when he gave that speech, believed that his legacy and that our country's legacy when it came to Iraq was in jeopardy by leaving. Now, it is important to point out that President Bush was not able to get the agreement with the Iraqi government signed. But there were politics involved, and the stage was set for that new face, that hope and change president to come in and be able to, much like Karzai was trying to do in Afghanistan. And unfortunately, it didn't happen for a gambit of reasons, and we are very much feeling the repercussions of it. And when I say we, I take that back.
The world.
Yeah, the world, and especially that region. There's a perfect storm. Everything in history always is. There's an abundance of circumstances that lead up to a tragedy or a victory. And right now what we have to do is say, when we went in there and we took out Saddam's regime, we created a vacuum, and we're operating in ignorance to sit here and think that because one or two presidents stood up and said the war was won, that anything was different the next day. We created a vacuum. I feel like we have some responsibility to make sure whatever fills that vacuum isn't pure evil. And right now, it is.
I like you, man.
I do too, man. I dig you. We'd hang.
We are hanging.
Well, we kind of do on Instagram, and that's just like being real friends.
I like your pictures, man. By the way, the funniest picture out of all the ones you've ever posted is the your koozie. Your koozie makes me laugh just because if you know you and you know that, A, you have no legs. It is the funniest koozie ever.
What is it?
It's his beer koozie, and it says something like... if you have two legs, this is not your beer. I just, for some reason, I think that's the most hilarious thing
ever.
Well,
this is country radio. So what it says is, and spelled accordingly, if you have legs, this ain't yours, because it's a red Georgia koozie with the Georgia G on the front. And when I go home, everybody has that koozie. It's Georgia territory.
Right.
So I'm like, man, I'm tired of drinking this bad beer. So I just wrote that on the back. So if you have legs, this ain't yours.
That's great. Where can people follow you? Speaking of Instagram, is that a public thing?
Or is it is. Just, it is. And I encourage people to, not because I want them to see my selfies, but because there's some really cool people I get to meet and things I get to do and other people get to do I can report on. So that's all at Twitter and Instagram at Johnny, J-O-H-N-N-Y, underscore Joey, J-O-E-Y. And then on Facebook, it's Johnny Joey Jones.
Why do you have Johnny Joey?
Oh, that's an amazing story.
Well, let's go into it.
Yeah, so I am from the mountains of North Georgia and very proud of it. So my great-granddaddy was Junie Edgar Jones, and my granddaddy was Johnny Edgar Jones. My dad was Joseph Edgar, and my mom hated Edgar. So we lived beside my grandparents, and the only way to keep them happy was to name me Johnny Joseph after each of them.
Oh, and then she got rid of the Edgar.
Well, she got rid of the Edgar,
ended
but...
ended it.
She didn't think it through. One went by Johnny, the other went by Joseph. They had to come up with something for me, so I ended up with a third name, Joey. So growing up, I was Joey with the surname Johnny Joseph, and then I joined the Marine Corps, and there's this funny thing in the Marine Corps. They don't care what your preference is. They're going to read what pops up on that sheet, and that was Johnny. So I'm not going to be the one that corrects the guy that's in charge of my life.
Who's yelling at you.
Exactly. So the Marine Corps, I was always Johnny. When I got hurt, those two worlds collided. There was no transition. So I just had to take up both names. And now it's kind of cool. I'm Johnny Joey Jones.
All right. So again, Instagram is
cool
Johnny
story.
Underscore Joey. And then Twitter, it's at Johnny Joey Jones.
Both. Johnny underscore Joey.
Man, you're making it difficult on me.
I know. I'm so sorry.
See, the great thing is I don't have to look you up because we already follow you.
Yeah.
Hey, Patrick, are we putting, do we have Joey's stuff on our website?
We'll get it up there.
Yeah, that way. Just go to bigdandbubba.com. Sadly, Big D and Bubba is easier to remember than your name, which is bizarre.
Where at in North Georgia are you from?
I'm from Dalton, Georgia.
Okay.
The home of carpet.
Yep. Carpet and furniture.
Carpet and furniture.
Carpet.
That's what we have there. We're just south of Chattanooga. Thankfully, we're far enough north of Atlanta to not smell it, and it's awesome. And I say that. I'm a big Braves fan.
I love the Braves.
That's America's. You like the new stadium? You like the change in moving the stadium and all?
It's closer to your house.
It's a good decision, I think. I mean, it's a beautiful park. I mean, it always has been, but since they built it the first time. But, we're America's baseball team. We're so American, we're Native American. Right?
Right.
Wow.
Sure, Johnny Joey Jones. Johnny Joey Jones. Anything else, Bubba? I know we're kind of
We're kind of on a pressed time schedule this week. So normally people, at least get a half an hour of our goofiness on here. Is there any business? Anything we got to cover? Like with the show? Anything going on? Patrick still single? Patrick,
this
by the way, tweeted
close,
out.
Patrick, this close to dating a hottie.
Patrick,
what?
Hold you're on. This close to dating. A hottie.
Yeah, why are you saying no?
No. Are you saying what I think you're saying?
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
So, Patrick tweeted out this, and I was like, aw. He put, I'm so bad at being single, I can't handle the simplest interaction with a girl that I like. I really need to just quit trying.
Yeah. That was because of the conversation we had with Christy Lee Cook earlier this week.
Yeah.
That is the key to success, is to just quit
trying. Stop
trying.
Yeah.
Don't ever get on the horse to begin with, and you can't fall off.
See? See?
It's not. It's
you have
not
no
far.
Idea how relevant that is, because this one was trying to get me to get on a horse, actually.
Dude.
But if.
You have no idea. Do you know who Christy Lee Cook is? Christy Lee Cook was on American Idol at one time. She has a hunting show. She is beautiful.
I do.
Yeah. Now you know. It was the hunting show that turned it on.
That's it.
Yes.
Not going to happen. Never
she
in a million years.
She was texting Patrick the other day. Hey, how are you? Just thinking of you. All that kind of stuff.
You know, let me tell you about my situation like that. I'm married now, but when I got to Hawaii in 2005, the person, and if you were in the military, the person to be in love with as far as the centerfold goes is Leanne Tweeden.
Okay.
And she did more, to my knowledge, she did more USO tours to Iraq and Afghanistan than any female during those wars.
I didn't know that.
And she also ended up marrying an Air Force pilot. But back,
what?
Yeah, back then.
What?
I know.
Air Force.
He's actually really cool, or I wouldn't, I'd just ignore it.
By the way, here's a picture of Christy Lee Cook.
And, oh, wow. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
So Leanne's my friend now, and it's really weird because I used to have the FHM magazines, and I used to be like, man, I'm going to marry that woman someday. And now, like, I have to be friends with her husband. It really sucks.
See, the problem is.
Well, you're really helping Patrick a lot here.
I'm just saying, Patrick, listen to this man. No. Do you know why he and Leanne Tweeden are not married? Because he hesitated.
Because I didn't go out and stalk her.
Because obviously she was totally.
I tell you now, there's a whole lot more to it than that. And me not trying is only the first of a list of a dozen reasons I'm not dating Christy Lee Cook.
Tweeting that out is your passive aggressive. I want attention, and I am hoping that a girl will see that. And go, oh, here's me.
Yeah, here I am. Yeah. Oh, and they did too. Hey,
listen, oh my God! Listen, I get it.
Dude, that's a good out of the woodwork.
It's a good move. Oh. It's a good move
if it works.
If you're hunting, listen. If you're hunting, the deer doesn't know you're in a tree stand.
Call, that's it. Man.
You know, he doesn't. It's right. They don't know that. They just think it's real.
And Judy, I'm gonna just go through some of these responses. Judy says, "Don't give up. Just be you." Patrick. Donna says, "You're gonna find your perfect woman. It may take a long time, and you may not even be looking at all, but it will happen."
She may be sedated. But
then Ashley throwing out this is the passive aggressive thing. Ashley says, "Don't worry, Patrick. I'm pathetic too at it."
Oh,
which means, Patrick, call me. That's what that means. And it goes on and on and on. He's probably got 50 responses below that.
Of course.
As he walks out of the room and refuses to be part of this conversation.
We have other things going on. Joe, it's good to see you, man. I hate that we have to finish this up so early, but we hope you have a great run here with the boot campaign. You can go to bootcampaign.com, get all the information and what they're great, great organization and what they're
and
doing.
And you guys have a concert coming up with Joe Nichols very soon that you're going to be doing for an awareness and also fundraiser, correct?
Absolutely. Everything we do has an awareness component to introduce you to our military and veteran and service member. Two words, service, sacrifice. We want you to know about it. This concert is called Friends with Benefits. It's on October 26th in Tyler, Texas. Real easy, friendswithbenefitsconcert.com or go to bootcampaign.com. You can get us either way. And check us out. We'd love to have you there. Joe Nichols was our very first celebrity supporter, so it's really cool to be able to still do things with him. Here we are, 6 years later almost.
I was going to say, Big D and I were at that very first event.
Yep.
And, absolutely.
That's where we first got our pictures taken with our boots, and we were skinnier.
Big third celebrity supporter.
No, he was
you
your
guys
first.
Were our,
no, you had it right.
Maybe you guys were first and second. No. But.
You know who else was there? Was Kacey Musgraves.
Yes,
and
yes.
Nobody even knew who she was back then.
Exactly. And that's Kacey. An awesome picture. We still have it up on our website. She looks really young.
Yeah,
she's great.
Yeah.
Thank you, Joe. It's good to see you. And also thanks to our sponsor.
Yep. Podcast is brought to you by Super 8 Hotels. Bum-ba-da-dum. Help them celebrate their 40th anniversary by playing the 40 Years and Looking Super game on Facebook. Go and check it out right now. See how super, super they're looking. Super 8 Hotels.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.